It is good, as always, to see each and every one of you. I am always humbled when I travel and I come across a group of people that loves the Lord. And that, as it was pointed out, this is the first day of the week, and that is exactly where we should be. There's no better place that we could be than right here, worshiping our Lord and Savior. Today, I want to talk with you for a few moments. The title of the lesson today is Mending Fences. And I want to kind of compare the idea of a fence to our faith as we talk this morning. Now, as we think about mending fences, the thought that goes through my mind, I hearken back to my grandfather having been a farmer. My grandmother, one time after my grandfather had passed away, she recognized there might have been an issue down with the well, and she asked me to go down in the pasture where the well was and to look at it. And unbeknownst to me, the neighbor had been pasturing a horse in that same pasture. And as I went underneath the fence and started walking down through the pasture to go to the well, that horse didn't take kindly to me being there, and he reared up and charged at me, and it became very evident very quickly that I needed to turn around. So I ran as fast as I could, being faster then, and dove under that wire fence, and that horse hit that fence. And after that fence needed to be mended. I was thankful that that fence held up. I was thankful that it was able to protect me from that impending doom. And as we think about our fence today, I want to bring you back around to Isaiah chapter 17. If you turn with me there, Isaiah chapter 17, starting at verse 10, says, "For you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not remembered the rock of your refuge. Therefore you plant delightful plants and set them with vine shoots of a strange God. On that day you plant it, you carefully fence it in, and in the morning you bring your seed to blossom, but the harvest will flee on a day of illness and incurable pain." Now, from that passage, I want to bring out the idea that we have to be careful what we allow into our fenced-in area, what we allow into our faith, what we allow to come into our lives, if you will. Now, we previously in the Bible study time talked about the prodigal son. You know, the same thing applies. What is it that we allow to be a part of our lives? And it is important that we protect the fence of our faith and that we mend it when it needs to be done. And one of the things that can happen, you know, in a group like this and in the family of God as we are, when we need help, when we need mending of that fence, so to speak, when we need a building up one with another, we can do that because we are that family in God. You know, in Isaiah 17, there at verse 11 at the beginning, read that again. "On the day that you plant it, you carefully fence it in, and in the morning you bring your seed to blossom." You know, when you plant something, when you establish something that you want to grow, you carefully fence it in. You take care of it. You take some care to make it grow or cause it to bud. And I underlined that word, the words there, carefully fence it in. And when you look at that, I did a little bit of research in the interlinear and looking at the way that language is, it means to make to grow, to cause to bud. And it takes an action on our part. You know, our faith is not something that we just get by osmosis, as my middle school science teacher used to say. You can't just sleep on that there book in front of you. You've got to open it up and read it. And the same thing applies to our faith. It takes an action on our part to maintain, to build up that faith that the Lord desires that we have. We all probably know and can finish the sentence here in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by what? It comes by hearing. And it comes by the Word of God. And that is exactly what we hope to do here today, is to look a little bit into the Word of God as we have already. And that is where we get the things that we do. And I hope that as you listen to the lesson here this morning, and it is my desire to bring forth the truth just as it is in the Scriptures, if you find that there's a difference there, if you find that you have a question, then by all means, please come and see me after the service. You would be my friend if you were to make a correction in my life. And I hope that's how we feel about it. You know, when talking about that prodigal son having gone away this morning in the Bible study and coming back and the reception that he got, that is a wonderful thing. So as we think of our faith, we think of faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, realizing also that our faith may be weakened. It may be broken or destroyed by the world and our earthly pursuits. The things that we come about in our daily lives, the things that we allow into our day, it may scar our faith. It may weaken our faith if that's where we put our mind. If we approach our faith in a lackadaisical way, we endanger our soul. You know, in Revelation 3 and verse 16, it says, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Those are words that none of us want to hear on that day. We don't want to hear that we have been a disappointment to God. We want to be those that have searched the Scriptures, understand what He desires of us, and have done just those things. That we've built our faith in just the way that He would have us to. He's given us the Word that we might be able to do that, and how wonderful and precious that is. You know, I remember a time when the local assembly where I'm located, they have in the past, during the pre-COVID, they have done a booth at the local fair. And I remember one lady came by and we had Bibles on the table for those people passing by to take and hopefully stop and talk to us a little bit. And the one lady said, "Oh no, I've got a Bible. I know exactly where it is. It's in my cedar chest. It's been there since 1962. And that's not the idea. It's not just enough to have that Bible in your house. It's not enough just to know where it is, but open it up. Wear it out. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see a worn Bible. It's a wonderful thing to see pages falling out of it. That means that it's been used. And that is exactly what we must do every day if we have a chance of building that faith, if we have a chance of protecting that fence or mending it if it need be. You know, and that leads us to the next point. Fences can be mended. You know, strong faith requires constant tending. It's just like anything else in life. If you are taking care of your body physically and you exercise, and it takes time out of your day to maintain that. It takes time out of your days to maintain your vehicle. It doesn't just automatically continue going forever. Our faith requires constant tending, opening up the Scriptures, looking into them, and finding out those things that God would have us to do. You know, those fences can be mended. Sometimes we get dragged down by the things that we've done, and we fence ourselves in with those things that we've done. You know, it doesn't matter how old the fence is or how battered and broken by sin it is. It can be mended. If you're sitting here today, and perhaps you feel that, well, there's just no hope for me, or maybe you know somebody that has said that to you. I've heard that many times. Well, I can't walk into the church building. It'll just burn down. You know, I've done so many bad things. That's a common thought out there in the world. And as we talk to people, if you're sitting here today and you have that thought in your mind, realize that the Lord and His sacrifice was enough. Fences can be mended. Our faith can be built up again and mended. Christ's sacrifice is sufficient to overcome. When we say something like, "Well, I just can't do that. There's no way possible that I could be saved," we're taking away the power of God. We're taking away the power that Christ has been given to Him. That sacrifice that He made, we're cheapening that. Let us make sure that we don't do something like that. Now, remember Paul. Paul in 1 Timothy 1 at verse 15 called himself the chief of all sinners. If you do some reading, and I'm sure most of us here are familiar with Paul and the things that he did in his earlier days, the way that he persecuted Christians, and that moniker probably fits quite well with the way he lived his life. And yet, look at all the good that he did. Look at all of the faith that is built up in us by reading the words that he penned, that the Lord desired that he pen. You know, it doesn't matter how old and tattered the fence is, the Lord is able. We have to take it out of our arena and stop saying that we have to do something about it. You know, the Lord is able. We just have to do what he said. As it was mentioned a moment ago, you know, when we're 100 steps away, God will take that 99 if we take the one. That's a wonderful way to put that. You know, even years after falling away, something can be done. If you are, again, are sitting here today and have fallen away and you realize that time has passed, or maybe you, again, know someone at home that needs to hear these words, I hope that you can intimate that to them, that they might come back to the fold. You know, Hebrews 10, verse 10 says, By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. You know, we don't need to re-crucify him. Nothing else needs to be done. That sacrifice was enough. He is able. As we continue thinking in Hebrews 10, starting at verse 16, just moving on a few verses. This is the covenant which I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws upon their hearts and write them on their mind. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will no longer remember. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, an offering for sin is no longer required. What a wonderful statement. And it brings us back to, again, what was being spoken of in the Bible study this morning, that idea of the true forgiveness. The lawless deeds he won't remember anymore. How difficult is that for us as human beings to forgive somebody when we've been wronged? Or perhaps we see someone that has gone down a deep, dark path, and it becomes difficult for us as humans to let that go and to truly forgive. But the Lord promises us that he will forgive. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will no longer remember. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, an offering for sin is no longer required. In verse 14, there again, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is, and we read that, the covenant that he's made with us. What wonderful words, what a wonderful promise, that no matter how far we go and let things into our fenced-in area, our faith, that the Lord is able to bring us back. But we do have to be obedient. We do have to look into his word. And we mentioned there a few moments ago that he would write his words on our hearts. Now, how does that happen? That happens by us opening up the Bible, opening up the scriptures and looking into the scripture, that we might learn those things that he desires of us. You know, our fences must be protected. Again, when the fiery darts come at us, when a horse runs in to our fence and knocks it loose, we must protect our fence. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, we're told to be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. You know, Mark 12, the first 9 verses of the parable of the vine growers. I know it's a little bit lengthy, but bear with me here and let's read with me in Mark 12, the first 9 verses. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a vat under the winepress and built a tower and leased it to the vine growers and went on a journey. And at the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive his share of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent them another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and that one they killed. And so with many others, beating some and killing others, he had one more man to send, a beloved son. He sent him to them last of all, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine growers said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and put the vine growers to death and give the vineyard to the others. You know, again, bringing out that point that we have to be careful who we let in. We have to be careful who we lease space inside of our minds, inside of our hearts. You know, our fences can be wrecked from the inside by those things that we allow in. You know, who do we allow to lease that space inside of our fence? Who do we allow to come into our hearts? Our friends? Our family? Our entertainment choices? You know, I have the word family there in quotations because, you know, we're all familiar with the blood family that we grew up with. But if you look around you here, this is truly your family. Why is it that I see all too often that many Christians will prefer to be out and having fun with those that are involved in worldly things? They'll allow those things into their lives, yet they shun away from the gathering with the saints. Perhaps there's a football game that they'd rather go to. Perhaps there's some other event that they find to be more entertaining. You know, again, as we mentioned earlier, what better place to be on this first day of the week than here with the saints? We are that family. We should take care of each other. These are the people that you should allow inside that fence. Those that have that desire for godly things. Those that also make that effort to pursue godly things by searching the scriptures daily. And when we allow a danger inside of our fence, you know, do we become concerned about that? Do the hackles on the back of our neck go up? Do we realize that, oh, there's danger here? There's an issue here. I've allowed something in, and I shouldn't have done that. You know, you think of a sheepdog. Most of you have probably had an interaction with a protective dog at some point in life. You know, do they tolerate dangers? Now, my neighbor across the road has some sort of sheepdog. There's two of them. And I can't even get across the street. If I make it halfway across the road, his dogs are on me. They know that I'm there. They know if anybody is there. And, you know, they're nice. And once you go in there, they know who I am, and they calm down. But, boy, as you're approaching, there's that idea of, oh, there that could be a danger. That could be somebody coming in to do no good. And those dogs are on that. We need to be the same way. We need to be those that look around and see one of our brethren that may be going off in a wrong direction and be willing to lovingly share that with them and let them know. Because sometimes we become blindsided. Sometimes we can't get out of our own way as human beings, and we allow ourselves to get into things that we ought not. You know, we need to be those that don't tolerate those things. We need to be those that that choose our friends wisely, that we choose who we are with daily wisely. Now, not to say that we should, again, as was pointed out in the study time, not that we should just shun everybody that is living a sinful life and never have anything to do with them and never speak to them. But we need to be careful that we don't join in on those activities. We need to be interacting in such a way that we love them and we desire them to come to the knowledge of truth, just as God does. And we need to be excited and happy and joyful when they do listen. You know, thinking of entertainment choices and speaking to especially the young people, I think the younger we are, the more apt we are to seek out to be entertained. And as we think of those things that we allow in our lives and call it entertainment, you know, we need to be thinking about those things we let inside of our hearts, let inside of our fence that can wreck it from the inside. So today, as we think on these things, and I hope you're thinking of your faith, and I most of all hope the lesson makes sense to you. I hope that the analogy that I've used makes sense and we can take this away from with us here today and think on our lives and think about the way that we interact with the world and see if perhaps we could do better. You know, I think one of the most dangerous things that we can come across is somebody that says, well, there's absolutely no way I could have done better in a situation. That that there's just absolutely no, I've done everything perfectly. There's just no way that I could have done anything better. That's a dangerous place to be when as a human being. We need to always realize that we're not perfect and that we can do better, and we should try to do so. Now, does your fence, your faith, need mending? Are you sitting here today in a condition that you realize that you've fallen away? Read with me again a few verses here in Jude, starting at verse 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. We need to be careful of those that we allow inside of our fence. We need to, again, look into the word which was once for all delivered to the saints. If somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I received a new words from the Lord, you realize from having studied the scriptures that you won't be fooled by that. You'll have that protection of that fence up, your faith, because you've studied the scriptures and you understand that not to be true. Does your fence need mending today? You know, bring to your mind 1 John 1:9, which is a comforting verse. Tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If that is your lot today, something can be done. Now, if you're sitting here today and perhaps you're wondering, how do I become a Christian? How is it that I put on Christ? Now, in Romans 10, verse 13, we read, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But it doesn't end there. You know, we have to ask, have we called upon the name of the Lord? And we look to Acts 22, verse 16, where it says, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And we don't want to neglect such a great salvation, as Hebrews 2, verse 3 says. Why would we want to neglect something that is so precious? Today, you've had the ability several times yet today to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 again tells us that that's how faith is built, by hearing the Word of God. If you believe, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, he had that belief and he acted upon it. If you believe that Christ is the Son of the living God, then that's wonderful. That's the next step. Are you willing to repent of your sins and turn away from those things? The idea of repentance being that to turn around and walk in the other direction, to have a new purpose in your life, leaving behind those old things that will wreck your fence, wreck your faith. Confess Christ before men, being willing to say confidently, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Being baptized again, buried in those waters of baptism, raised to walk in a newness of life. If you look into Acts 8 and look at the account of the Ethiopian eunuch, notice that they went down into the water. Must be immersed, just like we see in those first century examples. If you need to do that today, I plead with you. I beg of you that you would not wait another day. If we've learned anything over the past year and a half or so, is that tomorrow is not promised to anyone. We heard today, sadly, in the announcements of one that lost their life recently. Realize, and I don't tell you this to fearmonger, but realize it's just the truth of human life. Our life is but a vapor. We need to think on these things and ask ourselves whether or not we can confidently say that we are in Christ. If not, I hope that you'll make your way up to the front here in just a moment as we sing. If you need the prayers of the saints, if you're having an especially hard time, that's what we're here for as a family. I think I can speak for all of us here that we are a family in Christ, and we would want to help one another if we're struggling. If that be your lot, if you need anything from us in that regard, please come forward as we stand and we sing.